The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What is up, my fellow addicts? Ralph Sutton, the SDR Show. This week, a really fun episode. Boy, is this guy fucking funny. It is Kyle Dunnigan coming on the show this week. Don't forget, we do it live every Wednesday, every Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern time. You can watch us live for free, gasdigitalnetwork.com/live, or use the code SDR, get a 14-day free trial. You would have heard the show 5 days earlier, commercial-free, and access to our entire network at gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use the code SDR for that trial and access to about 20 other shows. But here it is right now, the Kyle Dunnigan episode of The SDR Show.
This is the intro to the shit show. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. This is the hit show. Show me a tit show.
It is the SDR Show, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll Show. I am Ralph Sutton. Right off the top of the show, give us a 5-star review on iTunes. Shannon, we have not done this in months, but pick a random person and we'll send them a t-shirt, which we used to do every month. We don't do the live chat. We don't answer the phone lines because we are not live during this crazy pandemic. But follow us everywhere at the SDR Show. Back with me once again, James Mattern with, by the way, Kyle is a running story. About, 3 months ago, we had Rob Schneider on, and James's bed was not made, and I got very angry with him that he would come on the show with a messy bed, and now, since then, not once has his bed not been perfectly made. So
that's
thank you.
Passive aggressive behavior.
Yeah, I feel like I had help in improving his life a little bit. James, do you feel you got a little bit better in life?
Yeah, and Rob Schneider kind of, like, the way he gave me a talking to, it was kind of like an intervention. He's like, young man, what are you going to do? Like,
yeah. It's a good way to start your day. You start your day by making your bed. You've already accomplished something.
Well, you know, they also say if you make your bed in the morning and you have a terrible day, at least you come home to a made bed.
It's a good way to look at it. These days, you're coming home and you're never leaving the place, but it's still... I don't know. It's a religious thing for me. The first thing I do when I open my eyes is just make my fucking bed immediately.
That's a very good habit. I wonder about his hat, too. Is it cold in there? You have a winter hat on.
Well, he's bald. He hides it.
Well, I don't hide it. I run with it, but I think I look cool. I like to on these shows, because this room kind of looks like a Pantera video. I kind of like to look like a longshoreman, especially since I was the runt of my group growing up. So this is me overcompensating in my 40s, acting like I can fuck a dude up.
It does also make you look tougher. That. Something about that style of hat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It does make you look a little tougher for some reason.
And it's also real sleety and shit out. It kind of looks like a Soundgarden video outside. So I'm just trying to, you know, handle business, dog.
All right, well, good job. What is the t-shirt you're wearing, James, by the way?
Oh, it's the Ramones with the Archies. I mean, if there ever was something that should have happened, there it is.
Cool. I like it. All right. And Shannon is with us again. Thank you, Shannon, for being here as always.
Of course. And I did pick a random reviewer. So if this person can send an email to the boys at the SDR Show, we'll send you a free piece of merch. The name is Michael Ferguson 589, and it's titled Wild Guests 5 Stars. They say, I'm not sure how SDR pulls this off, but they consistently get great guests. I used to only listen to the rock episodes, as I know Ralph from his radio days, and I love me some rock and roll, but then they had on Neil deGrasse Tyson. Crazy. Now I listen every week and realize I never left a review. Sorry, boys.
Oh, love it. Thank you. What was his name? Michael?
Yeah, Michael Ferguson.
Look, Kyle's at Neverland Ranch right now.
That's right. The streak of great guests is about to end. No, I am at, I'm at Neverland.
How's that doing over there? How's Neverland these days?
It's actually great. They've actually kept it up. The rides still work. The candy store is still open.
That's nice. Is the monkey still there?
Bubble's going to run it.
Monkey's dead.
That's unfortunate.
No one took care of the monkey.
It's been a while, so I'd be surprised if he's still alive. All right, so let's introduce our guest, by the way. A comedian. I fell in love with him fucking 20 years ago, I think it is, on Reno 911. I don't know what year that was. Jesus Christ. He's the host of the At Home Show with Sylvester Stallone and Kerp. I've watched a couple of them.
At Home with Kerp.
Because Kerp has a show on this network, actually. Kerp has Can't Get Right on this network.
That's right.
And my new favorite podcast is called Pussies that he hosts. It's yes. For women, about women, by men, if I'm saying it incorrectly.
For women to podcast. Yes, you said it correctly.
Oh, thank you. And of course, a writer on Inside Amy Schumer and killing it in the world of Instagram. I got to tell you right off the top, Kyle.
Thank you.
I went on a deep dive. And once we knew you were booked, through all of your Instagrams. And I have to say that I think the Bill Maher gangbang is my favorite. I've maybe watched it 40 times already.
No way. I haven't heard someone say that's their favorite. I appreciate that. That was like my water world. That was a lot of time and effort, a lot of cuts. Kerp also helped out with that one. We had a lot of fun.
Was it his legs?
Yes.
It was? I had a feeling it was his legs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, can I say my favorite?
Now everyone fucked me in the ass. I don't know how clean the show is, but
no, that's fine. Go do whatever you want, man. It's fucking great. My favorite is the shit in the penis line, and then you look disgusted. That really fucking.
What was that line?
Because you were supposedly upset that you didn't want to do this sketch, but it won some child thing.
The premise is a very ill child wrote in. It was a Wisha sketch, and their wish was to have a Bill Maher gangbang sketch. So right. I begrudgingly made this.
And then the former vice president of the United States acknowledges that he got he got shit in his pee hole.
Oh, yes.
And then you made a face like, I'm sorry, I didn't want to put that line in. I begged him to cut it.
Oh, yes. Right. Yes. I begged the little boy, but he wanted it in.
All right, Shannon, what's your favorite one so far?
It is with the impressions that you do of Darcy and Stacey of 90 Day Fiancé.
Oh, yeah.
The way you capture their like passive aggressiveness and how everything's about their
you know, my man, it's a great place to propose. My man would just, he doesn't like me to wear short shorts.
That's right in Shannon's wheelhouse. That's her favorite show, I think. If not,
it's great.
If not your favorite show, it's up there.
It's amazing.
That was one where I was like, I think 90% of the people who follow me don't know who these people are, but I did it anyway. I'm glad
I make people watch that. I share that often.
Cool.
So just to go back to the beginning, Kyle. Well, for me, my first introduction to you was Reno 911, and then ironically or coincidentally, maybe a couple years later, saw a comedy special that you did, and I didn't realize until the end that it was you, because you make yourself so unattractive as Craig that when I watched the comedy special, I did not put two and two together until you did Craig towards the end of the special.
Okay. Yeah. I my face gets a little deformed. It's like, what's going on, you guys? It's pretty gross.
Yeah. And you've kept that character alive. Thank God. I've watched the Craig News, which is great.
Yeah. We do Craig. Yeah. On my YouTube channel, I do a Craig's News every week. I did a character for, I was like really young. I think I went to therapy, and this is like, I created that character as a way to get my mother to listen to me. This is getting deep.
Really?
Yeah. Like I've been doing that character forever, and I just feel like it was like a weird thing.
So wait, I'm sorry. Elaborate on that a little bit. I don't mean to delve deep into the world of Kyle Dunnigan, but so you created this character because your mom wasn't paying attention to you, and you tried to express it.
This is my years later psychoanalyzing. Like, I just wasn't really listened to. And then I would play this, like, I guess he's kind of not mentally handicapped, but like a dull, normal, really stupid. And I think I was my mother's last child. Mm-hmm. It's all psychoanalyzing. And so she wanted me to be like that, kind of dumb and like not get smarter and independent. And so I wasn't really listened to. So I started doing this other thing as like a survival mechanism. I mean, this pictures me of 9 years old doing this character.
Really?
Yeah.
That is bizarre.
We're getting real deep today, guys.
Did your mom realize that you were creating this character to try and connect with her?
No. And I didn't even realize that. And I've never told her, and I never will tell her. She does listen to the show. So now she knows. Just kidding. No, it's not something. And it may not even be true. Let me be honest. This is like a psychoanalyzing.
That's fine. Hey, that's what I'm here for. I'm here for you to open up, Kyle. I want you to feel comfortable.
I hope I cry today. Wouldn't that be, that would be a win.
That would be amazing if that actually happened. So basically, you know, I do a little bit of research on everybody, and I watched a clip where not that long ago, maybe a year or two ago, I think it was, when you were on Marc Maron, and you said that Instagram saved you from a midlife crisis.
Yes.
Can you elaborate, please?
I was writing for a show. I think I'm still in it, by the way. I don't think I got saved, but help.
How old are you, by the way?
I'm 49.
Oh, wow. Okay, so we're right on the same. I'm 51, so okay. We're right there with each other.
How was your 50th birthday? Because it's coming up, and I'm...
So I did mine, in my opinion, the right way, which was... I have a twin brother, too, and we are obviously the same age, but we were born on New Year's Eve. I was born right before New Year's, and he was born right after. So we're twins born in different decades.
Cool.
Very weird. I was born in 69. He was born in 70. So
crazy.
50 is a big one for us. It's on New Year's, and it's also, you know, the whole shtick. So we went to Miami, me and my brother and about 12 or 13 friends of ours. And we just did it stupidly. Like, we all rented suites in some stupid hotel, the Guitar Hotel in Miami. And we all just spent the weekend there gambling, drinking, and just all my closest friends, like the ones I've known for 20, 30 years, if not longer. And yeah. it was a really nice, you know, nothing too crazy, but a nice weekend. And yeah. I think that's a good way. No real expectation other than let's just get together with friends we've known forever. And it was fun.
See, I don't think I'm going to do that. I don't have any friends.
Fair.
No, I don't. I think I'm going to ignore it. But then it's weird to ignore it.
50 is a weird one to ignore. I think I didn't care so much about 40 or 30, but 50 seemed like Jesus Christ, it's half a century.
I think I have to go back. My family lives in Connecticut. I think I have to go back to my family and be with my family.
Are you in California right now? Where are you?
I'm in LA. Yeah, my family's in Connecticut, and I'll have to go back for that. Otherwise, it would be weird.
You said you have older brothers. How many siblings do you have?
One older brother, one older sister. Older sister.
So you think that you'll maybe all be together? That would be nice.
Yeah, I think I'm going to do that. I just decided right here that's what I'm going to do.
All right. Well, I'm glad. Look, we've helped you already psychoanalyze.
Breaking news. Yeah.
And when is your birthday, by the way?
May 25th.
Oh, right around the fucking corner. I mean, it just makes it weird because of the pandemic. So it makes it hard to figure out what you're going to do.
Yeah. It's kind of on the cusp. It might be all right to fly then. My mom's old. And so I don't know what I'm going to do. But
speaking of the pandemic, by the way, which again, I like watching clips of people. Did Shannon decide to play with herself? Is that why she turned off her camera? I'm not sure. Yeah.
Or the cats are getting frisky, dog.
Something like that. But it was just an odd coincidence. I watched a clip of you on Jim and Sam. It was probably, I'm going to say like September of 2019 or something like that. So right before shit got real with COVID. Yeah. And you made a reference that the woman at the front door coughed on your license. And you said that should be illegal that someone coughs on your license because you could be spreading germs and you get sick. And that was right before the world fell apart. It just kind of like, it was like you foresaw the future of our universe falling apart.
Was that me that said that?
100%. I just watched it this morning. You were on Jim and Sam, and it was your first time, because Jim said it was your first time together on the show.
I have terrible memory. I also was the first one to wear gloves to Starbucks, and everyone thought I was a weirdo.
During the pandemic or before the pandemic?
Before. There was just hints of it. And then I was like, who's this weirdo Michael Jackson guy with gloves on his hands? Oh, my crisis. I didn't finish the crisis.
Sorry.
I just, you know, someone's when you're listening to something and like someone doesn't explain. Just very quickly, I was writing for a show and I felt so trapped and panicked. And I was like, oh, I think I'm having a midlife crisis. This is not right. It's how it feels if you're not in your midlife. You suddenly feel like you're in the wrong place. Like you went to another dimension. And this is wrong. Do you have that? Did you go through that?
Well, I tell you, is that I think that I thought about my life, the retrospective of my life in every big, you know, 30, 40, 50, right?
Yeah.
And I think depending on where you are in your life at that time, it's going to make you happy or sad. So at 30, things were great. And 30 was great. 40, things were terrible. I was miserable.
Yeah.
50, things have been doing pretty well. So I'm okay. You know, so I think it's not about anything other than you don't look at your life as a whole. You look at where you are at that moment.
Right, right.
And that's the problem with all of us. I think if you always, like someone talked about, I was on a show recently, and when you encapsulate my life's accomplishments, if you want to put that in quotes, in a 30-second blurb, it sounds fucking amazing. Right. But, you know, if you just see where you are right now, it's hard for you to like, oh, well, think about all the things you've done. You don't look at it that way.
No, no. I'll tell you, my saddest birthday was I thought we'll go to the beach. I'll rent out a little space, barbecue on the beach. It's up the coast. It's like an hour up the coast, past Malibu. And I like had this envision, all my friends there. And then we would stay over and camp in tents, and that'd be fun. And I didn't really check in if that would be fun, if you wanted to do it, but no one wanted to drive up that far. I think only like five people came for like a half hour or like, hour and a half. And they left. And I was there alone. Then I was in my tent and it was like wet, because you can have like a tent right near the water, just gets okay. wet. And then it got dark, and then I wasn't asleep over, and so I decided to leave, and I just was just trying to get back to my car, was just tripping and falling over things. This is just this podcast. I'm talking about sad things.
That's fine.
But I want to do that for my 50th birthday again.
You want to be alone in a wet tent?
Yes, wet tent. It
by the way, my 50th, and I've talked about this, so I apologize, but it's just an odd story. I don't do well with drugs at all. And I took an edible, and I realized while I was on, while I was high, that the suite I was in was a handicap suite. Okay. It was, as I noticed, like all the door handles were low. There was a handlebar in the bathroom. Yeah. And I realized a handicap suite. And then I had this, high epiphany. That, oh my God, I am mentally challenged and no one's told me, and I'm figuring it out now because of whatever reason. And I start looking at my life and trying to analyze, is this true? And for everything that I accomplished in my life, I came up with an excuse of why that may have happened from a mentally challenged perspective. And I got super sad that my mother's been lying to me for 50 years and I can't believe that I'm mentally challenged my whole life. How the fuck did I not realize this?
Wow, those are good drugs.
Yeah, I just do really bad on drugs. But then
I wouldn't accomplished mentally. Were you proud of yourself? You did so much.
I was amazed that I was able to get this far without thinking about it. Like, even I've had sex with a decent amount of women. I talk about it a lot on the show. And then I said to myself, well, maybe they were all my caretakers and I've been confusing myself thinking I had sex with them. I was like, all right, well, I had a radio show that was on 100 stations for 10 years, 15 years. Like, well, maybe that was on the weekends. So maybe on the weekends, they were like allowing mentally challenged people some airtime. And every single thing I could come up with, they made an excuse for myself. It was bizarre.
That's amazing.
I've been rereading V for Vendetta. This is like what Evie goes through for like three chapters. This is wild to me. It was really crazy.
It was. I don't do well with drugs. That's the bottom line. But anyway, to go back to it, so you're not happy.
Oh,
you're
just crisis.
How do you discover IG and come up with this whole concept?
So I was writing for the show and I was just like really panicked. And I lucky to even have a job writing. I mean, it's a great job, but I just was just like, this is wrong. I wanted to be like performing more. And I've been writing for other people for so many years. And I just started making these face swap videos. I discovered you could just put another face on you. And I never really did I did impressions for friends, but never did them like out like in my stand-up or anything. And so I started making videos, and I realized you could make them do FaceTime talks. So then I started doing the writing the writing team. I would start just doing videos of them on dates and just different messed up things. And then I just started posting them, and then I started doing other impressions, and I started realizing I could do other impressions. I started actually working on doing impressions. Mm-hmm. And then Joe Rogan picked it up, and Tom Segura and Bill Burr, and they like blew up my Instagram.
They started sharing it.
Yeah. And talking about it on their podcasts. And that really blew it up.
You had mentioned on Joe Rogan that, or at least he mentioned that Bill Maher was not happy with his, no. Which is weird, by the way. I've had this discussion a lot. I'm not a comic. James is a comic. You're obviously a comic. It seems like all comics are always about free speech and open expression, except for the one thing that bothers them. Right.
Right.
And it's always weird because there's so like every single comic that works at Gas Digital. One thing that will piss them off that they don't want it to be funny. It's not funny to them. So it's weird when you're all so much for free speech. But my question is that, other than Bill Maher, who now we know does not like your impression of him, are there other celebrities that reached out to you that don't like it? Like Stallone, you tag him in those Instagrams.
Yeah, that's Frank Stallone. I actually talked to as Sylvester Stallone on the Adam Carolla show. And he was so cool about it. But he did. I'm sure he did not want me there. You know, Frank's one big moment. He's got this doc coming out. And then on the Adam Carolla show, a Sylvester Stallone impersonator comes on. I'm sure he was like, but he was very cool about it. I did a couple of Jerry Seinfeld.
Videos. I saw them. Yeah. Comedians in Cars.
And he was very, you know, cool about that. And he comments on my videos and is really supportive.
But nobody else has.
I did a John Mulaney. He liked it. I've never had someone be upset about it.
Except for Bill Maher.
I think Bill Maher is a lot like Donald Trump. He and that's why he hates Donald Trump. I think he's got a strong ego. And I think when someone does an impression of you, you don't love it because it is exposing something about you.
I look at it like Jay does one of me all the time because I have such a deep voice and I look like Frankenstein. So that's how he portrays me. It's like lurchy, you know. And to me, I find it endearing that you're taking time to sound like me. I don't know. It doesn't bother me at all. Anybody that does that, for a while, people were sending in artwork of me. And they all make me either look like I have Down syndrome or I look like Frankenstein or something. And I find it endearing. Maybe I'm fucking weird. I don't know.
I think in general, comedians don't take themselves seriously, but there's a certain type of comedian like Bill Maher who, you know, I think he just takes himself a little more seriously. I went to Hawaii with him. That's how
Bill Maher.
The impression. Yeah. I'm sure he doesn't even remember. I was dating Sarah Silverman at the time and he invited her.
Wow.
And we actually missed our flight and he offered to take us. It was like we were at the same time. And he ignored me so hard. I mean, just kind of don't blame him. Probably just didn't want me there. But it
so
was
wait, really, do you think that he was really trying to hook up with Sarah?
I think he loves her. She makes him laugh. I don't think it was like sexual. I think it was just like, who was this, you know, kind of thing. But I remember just listening to his voice very intently and I rarely get back at somebody in life. And then when he went on Joe Rogan, he knew about it because Joe played it and he brought it up. He was like, and that guy that does a terrible impression of me. He wanted to get a dig in.
I mean, it's such a good impression of all of them. Most of them are good and funny. You know, they're all funny, but that one, it really sounds like you don't need the face for it to know who you're doing. You know what I mean?
I get into it with the word people. He goes, okay, people. When you can do, okay, people, you don't know anything. Okay. It was like three little words. But then Joe was like, it's a good impression. Let's play it. And then Bill was like, don't, if you play it, I'm leaving.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I mean, I don't know. You have to, even if you hate someone's impression of you, you have to pretend like you like it, right?
Right. There was that time when on SNL Andy Samberg was doing Jesus Christ, my brain is not working right now. The guy from
you're mentally handicapped. No,
Mark Wahlberg.
Frankenstein.
He was doing Mark Wahlberg and Say Hello to Your Mother for Me. That was like the whole thing.
And yeah, that was great.
He originally, like, he tweeted out that he was not happy with it. Like, he got angry. And then someone must have told him, dude, you just got to go over there and suck it up. And then he went on to make it like he was okay with it. But you could tell he was not okay with it.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me ask you, you hung out with Mar. I have a wild theory. Does he put a lot of cologne on? Because I like Bill Maher, but my theory is any comedian who puts on a lot of cologne, he looks like he's colognedup. Any comedian who does that, no fucking sense of humor about themselves. Just something I've known in the years, dog.
No, that's a solid theory. I didn't notice a lot of cologne. But he really did stay away from me, so I didn't get like a good smell. Who's that little one in the back?
Wow.
So I'm staying with the family. What perfect timing. I pick my spots, wow. Kyle, in this show. I'm like a goddamn relief pitcher. And I come in or like a specialist in football. And to bolt in then with that hot take on Bill Maher and one of the twins comes in. Good job.
Beautiful, beautiful.
That freaked me out for a second because I looked away and then I just saw a head and I didn't know what the fuck I was looking at. That was wild.
I'm staying with four kids. A family. I'm in a basement and they're twins. It really is some shining shit. So me with next time I'm just going to throw a ball on the wall. Like I'm Jack Torrance. I'm just really going to play into this. Kyle, I'm sorry. I want to hear more about Bill Maher's goddamn cologne. It was a premise. I had. I want to go the full nine with this shit. Twins won't get in the way.
I did not smell cologne, but I like your theory. I think don't go just by that you have a false theory. Also, on the trip to Hawaii was Alan Thicke.
Oh.
And Alan Thicke was like, my son has an album coming out.
Oh, we just lost James. He got mad at your Alan Thicke impression.
Oh, dang.
He's very close to Alan Thicke. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah, people get sensitive.
I think someone else came in the room. That's why.
More children. More his children. Are they his children? It's weird if they're.
No, that'd be weird if they were his children. He's hiding it from us.
All right, before we go any further, fans of the show who are over the age of 21 and you want to stock up on some top shelf CBD flower, we got a deal for you. We've been talking about these guys forever. They are a great sponsor of the STR show. It is Hempire. HempireDirect.com. The Hempire Vampire is not here for this episode, but it's Empire with an H, HempireDirect.com. If you're into CBD, all the great benefits of CBD, but you get to smoke it so you feel like you're still smoking, but you're getting all the benefits of just straight CBD, high quality CBD. It is $20 for an eighth or $30 for a quarter. Incredible pricing. Grape Ape, Blue Dream, Sour Runs, everything you could possibly want. It is at Hempire Direct. That is HempireDirect.com. If you use the promo code GASFLOWER, that's GASFLOWER, you get 50% off your entire order. 50. That is half off. 50% off at HempireDirect.com. Use the code GASFLOWER. All right, let's get back into it.
Let me ask you this question. So I always like to just talk about these things. I apologize. You were living with your ex, Amy Schumer, in the beginning of last year?
That's a lie.
It's a lie?
Not really a lie, no. Well, we're not ex. She's never my girlfriend. I was on the Howard Stern show, and Howard's very good, and that got blown out of proportion. And then now when you Google me, it's like everything is Kyle lives with his ex-girlfriend, Amy Schumer. And she was never my girlfriend. Okay.
You wrote on the show for a while, obviously.
On the show for a while. She was writing Trainwreck. We did hook up. Look, we did hook up. Right. And but it was not like a boyfriend-girlfriend thing. And then I just got picked up boyfriend-girlfriend. And then anytime you Google it for the rest of my life.
First thing that comes up. Yeah.
You're like, forever the rest of my life, I look like a homeless person who didn't have. They took a picture from my Instagram where my hair was, I was getting a haircut, and they cut out the hairdresser, and it's just crazy hair. And like, I had to move in with an ex because I was desperate.
That's definitely how it came off. It made me feel bad. It's like, man, Craig's career has went down south.
I thought about scrubbing that. You know, you can pay people to.
Oh, paid, yeah, yeah. But is it worth it? Who gives a shit?
That's
it's not that important.
Like, I don't care. You know where it is important? Like, if I'm starting to date somebody, everyone Googles.
Oh, that's
person.
True.
And then it's like, that's not a good Google.
Because of Sarah Silverman and Amy Schumer, do you exclusively fuck comics, or is that just two out of two?
I'm writing a book right now called Fucking Funny, and it's just all my. Just kidding. I have dated. I guess it's the circles I run in, you know.
But usually I find that comics don't want to date other comics for some reason. James, stick up for me.
I have dated so many comics, it's almost despicable at this point.
I see you dating. I usually see you dating the waitress at the comedy club or the groupie, but
that's
not
worse.
Yeah, I'm sure it is, but that's what I've seen mostly.
Yeah, that's worse.
I'm uncomfortable like going up to somebody who's like a fan or just saw the show. It's like uncomfortable. I don't go up to people in bars and say, hey, what's up, girl? And so I date people that I spend a lot of time with usually.
Mm-hmm. Did you work with Sarah Silverman or something?
No, we had mutual friends. And so we hung out a little bit. We knew each other for a little while. But yeah, that's why I don't seek out. Although, I mean, Sarah's hilarious. I like being around people who make me laugh. That's really, you get spoiled, you know, being around funny.
And on the, I know a lot of these impressions are new to you, but Craig has been around since you were a kid. Has any of your women in your life asked you to fuck them as Craig?
You know what? That would be really creepy. No one has. Someone wanted me to do Trump in bed.
Really?
I really liked her and I did it. And it did see, she did seem to be more excited about that than me, than talking to me.
Did she make you do it the entire time or did she bring it up in the middle of it all?
No, it was in the middle of it all. And then I wasn't comfortable continuing, but I gave her a little bit.
That's great.
And
do you, by the way, do you have your Trump head ready to go by any chance?
Let's see here.
I see.
Okay. Look, where's my Twitter? I want to get my tweets out here.
That's pretty fucking amazing. That's a great setup. What are you using again? Because it's such a good setup.
It's called Snap Camera.
Did it take you a while to get this thing working where you really, because it really is, because you're live streaming.
Okay. It sent out this tweet. Nancy Pelosi. How could someone that old still get her period? Send it.
Is it like he died? Like we don't hear him at all.
It's been a nice quiet week. I'm telling you, I've never been more relaxed in my life. I also love Trump in front of Neverland is the greatest thing I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
That should have happened a long time. That's like the Ramones and Archie.
Okay.
Unbelievable.
I do not have the best Trump. My impressions are more usually just kind of goofier.
Mm-hmm.
Some people do like amazing Trump impressions. I can't remember their names right now. But I saw one guy. I wish I could remember his name. Anyway,
there was the guy that had the show on Comedy Central. His was pretty good.
Right.
His was good. There's a guy who does it even better. What?
Yeah, Bob DeBono.
DeBono does a great one.
He has the whole physical thing. I don't know. I think that one was amazing.
I would say for the first time in like 2 years, I don't watch the news anymore. I was watching the news every morning.
Right.
I don't watch the news anymore. So it's such a sigh of relief. I have extra time on my hands.
I don't Google his name anymore, and I'm so relaxed by it. I'm so happy to be bored with politics again. I don't know what's going on anymore. It's wonderful. We all could be melting, and I'm like, great.
The impeachment is kind of keeping him alive a little bit. But once that's over, do you think there's going to be some withdrawal?
For comedy, I think there is. You know, it's also funny. We have two or three shows on the network that are political-based shows, and their numbers are through the roof right now.
Yeah,
I don't know where it's going to be 6 months from now. I don't know. Yeah. It's just that the world is changing. Are you going to retire your Trump impression? You might as well, right? I mean,
I never did it that much. I kind of slowed down. I did it at first a lot on Instagram, and then I just kind of stopped doing it. It was, I don't know. I just got more interested in other people. And I didn't think I did it all that well. And then other people were doing it great. So
it seems like Stallone is your favorite to do.
I love Stallone, and people actually aren't that interested in my Stallone, I don't think, in general.
I really love it. I think it's great, especially the clip I saw about your favorite black people.
Yeah, my favorite black guys, you know? Yeah. Yeah, I have people go, who is that old man? I get a lot of, maybe the young kids don't know who that is.
And then Rocky with AIDS was also great. Rambo with AIDS.
Rambo with AIDS, you know? You know? The whole impression is a you know and a sniff. You know? Yeah. You know? We do a thing where we go, it's time for a yo. And people love it. You know, we do a live show and people just, they like to write yo. I just say it's time for a yo. And then they all write it.
It's also the hat is so happily deformed that.
Yeah. You know?
I guess your right side of the hat is all bent.
It's all bent. I sleep on it, you know?
Is there a new Rocky film coming out, sir?
Yeah, Rocky 4 billion.
Go ahead, James.
I was going to say, my favorite and how I learned about all these is my boy Shuli showed me Ray Liotta with the Chantrix, and I ain't joking. I watched it about 300 times in 24 hours. Your numbers, I get a piece, baby. I was shooting them up. I quit cocaine. It was so amazing. Tears in my eyes. And that happens like 5 times a year.
I appreciate that.
From comedy. I mean, from crying to Tori Amos late at night after drinking, that's every day. But from comedy, 5 times a year, a tear.
That I appreciate that because I do work hard on those videos. And at first, I kind of got shit for it. because I guess Instagram, you weren't supposed to work hard on your videos, but it was kind of my only outlet. So I really tried.
Oh, so I thought they were going to. So let me ask you this now. I was watching you and Kurt. I guess you know Kurt forever. Is that right?
A long time, yeah. And
you never made me realize how misogynistic the Wizard of Oz was.
Yes. It's a disgusting film. Also, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
And Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Yeah, it's really horrible.
We're actually starting to work on we're going to do a live show, just do a stand-up against comedy, where we retire like all jokes that are offensive and different, basically anything funny we retire, and we're going to do like a live show of that.
Kurt's been on the bad end of that many times. Have you ever gotten shit for anything? I mean, some of your videos are pretty, you know, crass.
I think because I don't know why.
That's, you should be thrilled, because that's, it's crazy.
It might be because I'm putting a different face on my face.
Yeah.
And I'm being a character. Like if I'm like Archie Bunker, people didn't get mad at Carol O'Connor, even though Archie Bunker was.
Yeah, but that was also 100 years ago. If that came out today, I'm sure people would get angry.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It's because like, I think Trump might be the most offensive stuff, but it was Trump. So I was sort of making fun of it in a way.
Fair enough. You were on the Reno 911 reboot on the very short-lived Quibi. I never got to see it, but were you in more than one episode or just one episode?
Who thought that wouldn't work? No, I was just on one episode, shot one day, and that was really fun. That was always fun. Those guys are just very loose and easy and almost unnerving, where you don't know what's going to happen. Like when I would do the show, they'd be like, I would say 2 minutes before they called action, they'd go, it's your birthday and then we're going to bring out a cake. So you'd be like, okay. It's kind of nerve-wracking.
It's that loose, the whole show?
Yes. I mean, they know more than probably the guest star what's going to happen, but but Carrie Kinney was, she got an Emmy Award for that episode I was in. She was so good.
I think that of all the, I don't know what you'd call that style of comedy show, but that's my favorite one, that loose, you know, whatever you want to call that. I think improv. It's one I still go back to when I can. I just think it's such a fucking brilliant, brilliant show.
Yeah. They're just good at improv. And if you have that, it is rare. I guess it's like Curb Your Enthusiasm a little bit, that style.
By the way, I did think your Prince Harry was Ed Sheeran in the beginning.
You know what? I never even looked up to hear how Harry sounded. That wasn't something I was even trying to to do accurately. Where's Harry? Here's Megan. No, I don't so know. Amazing. I just wanted someone dumb next to Megan.
Oh, Megan, you look pretty hot there.
Whatever. Yeah, people are attracted to my Megan face, which just makes me uncomfortable.
Do you talk to other impressionists? Like, are you in cahoots? And or do you ever like get old timers like a Rich Little who doesn't like you because like you do like the digital faces?
Impressionist fights? No. Yeah. I really didn't do impressions before Instagram had that face swap thing going on. I'm not friends with any impressionists. We probably should start some kind of war. That's how you get
you versus Rich Little would be amazing. Would be amazing.
What was that? You can't monetize the Instagram, right? That's not possible. Oh, the kid came in.
Well, you know what? Yeah, that's why I'm trying to get people over to YouTube, which is real hard.
Yeah, no one wants to jump platforms.
No, it's hard. I do a lot more stuff on YouTube, and now I'm starting to do little clips on Instagram, hoping people will jump over to YouTube. But I do every now and then get a spot. Like I was just offered like a sponsored ad. I don't always do them, but I do make a little money doing a sponsored ad. I don't like to because it's hard to make it funny.
Right.
You've seen those people on Instagram will be like, it just feels
bad. It's surprising that Instagram doesn't offer like a pre-roll that just comes up with like a quick splash of something. And then you can just be surprising. They don't do that. I don't know why they don't.
They were planning on doing that for years, by the way. And I don't know why it never rolled out. Someone said it is on the IGTV, but I've never seen it.
I don't know anyone that does IGTV anymore. Anyway, we had a developed a show on gas with a couple of really big Instagram people with millions of followers, thinking they would jump platforms to podcasting, but they really did not. They didn't give a shit.
It's crazy. I kind of get it. I don't know. It doesn't sound annoying to click twice to get somewhere else, but it's really annoying.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, look, I'm on Instagram. Leave me the fuck alone. I don't want to leave Instagram right now. That's what it is. Same thing with whatever platform you're on.
Well, TikTok is the crack of platforms where their algorithm is really good, where I don't even like to go on TikTok, but I get stuck there for a while because you swipe and someone's like jumping off a building and you're like, Jesus Christ. And you swipe again. It's like someone like in a bikini and it's just constantly giving you different things that your brain is like.
Mine is very weird. I'm sorry. I just have, I don't follow anyone. So, and I don't never post it once. So my algorithm is batshit crazy. It just, there's no consistency to what I see whatsoever.
But they usually put at the top things that are popular, things that kind of went viral.
Right.
And it's so easy to swipe. It's like, I don't know. Look,
it's amazing how it's become the thing. I also, I hate it. I hate watching the girls dancing. It just drives me nuts.
I don't get why that is popular, that dancing. For those annoy me.
They really annoy me. And also I hate the, you were today's years old when you learned this. I want to punch those people in the face every time. Yo, you know that?
Yes.
I'm sorry. I'm going to get one of those, the face apps that you got, Kyle, and I'm going to change my face and dance. I'm going next level.
Oh, shit. Well, I got an app where I can look handsome. You guys want to see that?
Yeah. Let's see that.
Look at this. This is a handsome app.
Whoa.
Oh.
Wow.
So it just says handsome. You just press a button and it makes you goddamn handsome.
You gotta make like a more, gag. You gotta make a more manly voice, a little more like.
Yeah, what's up? What's up, girl?
Wow.
Janet, you turned on?
Hi, Kyle.
Hey, what's up?
You look like the dude who played the comedian in Watchmen and is in Walking Dead.
Just like a great jaw. That's all you
It's really, really great. Wow. It also, by the way, it's interesting because it really just looks like you with better life choices or something. It doesn't not look like you. It's just interesting.
It is. It's very subtle. It just makes your, symmetry. I can also be a hot chick.
Oh, my God.
Oh, you look like that actress. Oh, shit. What is her name? I'm so bad with fiction.
Lauren Lapkus.
Yes.
Oh, my God. I look like Lauren Lapkus.
That's who it is. Wow, that's crazy.
This is wild.
That's wild.
I know. I'm the other, what was that movie? The Other Missy. Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Good film, by the way. Funny film.
Yeah. I saw that he liked your post recently, David Spade. It got like 1,000 likes that he liked your post.
Yeah, we go to dinner sometimes. He buys. I'm always like, I'll get next. But
Do you have, my last question of these, because I hate to dwell on the impression so much, but do you have one that is your favorite to do right now, that the one you like doing, or one that you're working on that you're going to debut soon?
I'll tell you one that I'm working on. It's not ready, but I'll just debut a few guys. Do you guys know Ben Shapiro?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course.
It's fine. If you want to say that's fine, but it makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. That's fine. If you want to be a girl, that's fine.
Really good.
LA Page was Ellen Page, who I was attracted to, which is fine. But now that makes me a homosexual. If I'm attracted to LA Page, that kind of thing.
Great.
Still working on it. Do you guys know him?
Of course.
Okay.
He has so many stupid comments. It's amazing. When he said, I saw a clip recently where he was saying about if the water levels rise 2 or 3 inches or so, or like, let's say a foot, and all the homes are going to get underwater. It's hard to look at you seriously.
And that's what I said, which is fine.
And then he said those people would just sell their homes and move inland. But if the water flooded their homes, who are they selling the homes to? It makes no sense. Like, he says a lot of dumb things that people don't call him out on.
They're selling homes. And he's so quick talking. I have to get the pitch up a little bit. He's really twerpy. He's got a twerpy sort of thing about him, which is fine. He talks incredibly fast, which I can't really do. He's so really quick talking that he holds up his end of the argument. Even if it's a bad point, you go, Did you see him with Piers Morgan? He really didn't have a good argument, but he held up.
You know, just because he has so much verbiage out there, it's hard to unpack it all to contradict it all.
There's so many words.
All right, Shannon, let's hit the first. We got to wrap this up.
The first time. drugs, had sex.
The name of the show, Kyle, is Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll, the SDR show.
Sure. Yeah.
And we always end the show by asking our guests their first experience with all three. The first concert you ever went to, the first drug you ever did, and the first time you had sex. And we start with concert. And ideally, it's a show we're going to know, the one that you went to on your own volition, not one that your mother dragged you to that we never heard of, but the first show you went to.
Okay. What I would like to do is I'll do that, but a compromise. Can I then cut to a sex, my first sex story, and then back to the concert, because they actually tie in?
Yeah, please. You have the floor, sir.
So I'm in college, Ithaca College, and I'm having a terrible time. I love Billy Joel. Like, I learned how to play the piano because of Billy Joel, East Coast guy. And this girl says, "Hey, I have 10th row tickets. You want to go?" And my mind exploded because I went to already see him, but I can only afford like the back, and I was not close. And so in my fantasy, I had dreams. I was going to jump on stage. I'm going to rush the stage. I'm in the 10th row. Then I'm going to jump in shades. Now I'm talking like Ben Shapiro. I'm going to jump on stage. And then she took the tickets away from me. She's like, "Oh, my friend wants to go." And I was devastated. So then a couple months go by, and we go to Yankee Stadium, live at Yankee Stadium. They're filming it. But we have back top tier. You could touch the back of Yankee Stadium. Couldn't be further away from Billy Joel. Mm-hmm. He's singing Piano Man, we're hearing Uptown Girl. That's how far like the sound had to travel. So I'm like, let's go down. I saw that in my head, that vision of me jumping on stage. I'm like, let's go to the floor. And so nine of my friends, we go down there, and our seats say tier at the top of them. Okay. And all my friends get caught right away. You know, there's every 15 feet, there's guys with flashlights looking at your tickets, and they're like, "Get out of here." They kept pointing to where I wanted to go. I don't believe in magic. I'm not a crazy person, but there was something about how I already envisioned this that they kept pointing me where I wanted to go.
Wait, so I'm trying to interrupt you. They looked at your ticket that said tier, and they still pointed you forward.
Big letters, tier. And I went by at least three, maybe four stations.
Okay.
Just things happened. It got like busy. They just kind of let me, and I probably had some sort of confidence or something. I knew I was going. I don't know. So I get around, no one's rushed the stage yet. So I rush the stage. I'm dead center now. Billy Joel concert. Look at this. Dreams come true. So now it's getting to the end of the concert. And I'm like, I'm going to jump on stage like I had envisioned when that, and I don't want to call her a bitch, but she's a bitch.
She's a bitch.
She said I had tickets and then took them away from me.
That's awful.
So there's a woman next to me, and I'm too scared to jump up by myself because I realize I feel like they're going to beat the shit out of me. Sort of figure. So I say to this girl, "Hey, you want to jump on stage with me?" And she goes, "Oh, no, I'm a scary Mary," which I never heard before since.
I don't even know. Does that mean like she just gets frightened easily? I've never heard that term before. Okay.
I guess it just rhymes with Mary. All right. Now I have to cut back to my sex story. I'm leaving you there.
Okay.
I'm in Ithaca College.
So I'm fucking on stage at a Billy Joel concert.
No, I'm not on stage, and I am too scared to jump on stage.
Okay.
I don't think I'm going to do it. So I'm coming up back from a party at Ithaca College, and this girl who's in my Spanish class is on her balcony, hammered, and she goes, "Kyle Dunnigan, get up here." Now, this is a girl who's dead quiet, shy in my Spanish class. I was very vocal at needing so much attention, constantly trying to have people look at me. And so she knew who I was, and she's like, "Get up here." And so I was like, okay, never had sex before. And so quickly I was doing it with her. It was like, I don't even remember what happened in between it. Like, she had decided this was happening and it happened. Do you know what I mean?
When she said, "Get up here," what did she mean, get up here?
Like, exactly. Get up to my apartment.
Oh,
I was
okay.
Walking by her apartment from a party by myself, which was a very common thing for me to walk back by myself. And so no girl had ever wanted to have sex with me at that point. And so I thought she was very a slutty or something, you know? You just figure, she's having sex with me? She's having sex with everybody. Plus she was 21, which was incredibly old to me as an 18-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the time when AIDS was like, if you had unprotected sex, you got AIDS.
Right. I remember those times.
Just said AIDS on it. So I left not thinking I had AIDS. I knew I had AIDS. Okay. I had sex with a very
with
loose
a slut?
Old woman. So I was like, I mean, devastated, like crying to my roommates who were like, you're weird. I was like, I think I have AIDS. I couldn't get an AIDS test. I hope this story feels really long and I apologize.
No, I like it. I like it a lot.
So I couldn't get an AIDS test at the school. They just didn't have it. This is like 1990. So I was too young to go. You have to call a hospital. You have to get a car. So I just never got tested. So for a year and a half, I lived with AIDS. I lived as though a man was dying of AIDS. So cut to Billy Joel concert. This is when I know I have AIDS. So I'm...
No wonder they all let you through. Nobody wanted to touch you.
I know. There's a big stigma. So now Billy Joel's coming out for his end wave and I'm too scared to jump up. But then I remember I have AIDS. I'm going to die anyway. So right. The power of AIDS propelled me onto that stage. I jumped up. I pat him on the back. I said, good job. He said, hey, thanks. And then a big bodyguard barreled into him, into Billy Joel's shoulder, trying to get to me. And Billy Joel's like this. And I'm in the back. This is all on a film. It's actually on my Instagram. It's all on a film of me, like, with this guy and jumping on stage. And I'm like, don't touch me. I have AIDS.
So but you did get up on stage. He
I
gave
the stage. And it's
and
on,
it lasted
it's
on, 10 seconds or not even?
Oh, it was probably, I mean, I just ran up and then pat him on the back and a big guy was right there and I kind of was fighting. And then cut to 25 years later, I was invited onto the stage. It was another arena. It was like in Chicago, maybe the Cubs team or something. And it was weird because I came up the same way, like from the stage that had happened 25 years earlier. Very surreal.
At anyway, a Billy Joel. It was a Billy Joel concert.
Billy Joel concert. Amy had done the Trainwreck movie, and it was like her and Jennifer Lawrence were going to dance during Uptown Girl and just invited us. You know, she, because the Billy Joel music was kind of, anyway, so yeah, I just was there as a hanger-on, but we got to do that night, go on stage on that concert. So it was
and
a
you
really
survived,
full circle.
Survived AIDS for 25 years, which is also impressive.
Yeah, well, you know, me and magic. That is the whole story.
That's the sex story and the concert story. What about the drug story?
Not as interesting. I mean, the first time or like the most.
The first
drugs?
Thing you did after weed, unless weed was your only drug.
Weed was just, I didn't get good weed. I kept smoking and it was just bad. It wasn't, probably was oregano. First time I drank, I got sad about a girl.
I see a theme with a lot of your stories.
I know. God, you don't have to post this, right? And then I did a little bit of mushrooms, but not enough to hallucinate. And I just got super tired.
So you're not a big drug guy at all?
No, I mean... Sleeping pills sometimes. Xanax, I'm not afraid of.
Okay,
but
fair enough.
Exciting. Bad drug story. Long, but that's a good AIDS story.
That's a good AIDS story. All right, let's wrap up with plugs. Anything you want to plug, sir?
I want to plug my
besides
YouTube
Shannon.
Channel.
Hi-yo!
Yay! Wait, let me put Handsome Kyle back on. Shannon's super interested in Handsome Kyle. Right, Shannon? I could probably figure out a way to always have this app on.
Jesus.
Okay. Unbelievable.
This would change my personality. You know what I mean? Like, I'd be like, hey, what's up? If I had this face.
You would get 25% more aggressive. There's no chance. You just automatically would.
And the confidence. This is like, hi, I'm Kyle. It's like, hey, what's up? I want to plug my YouTube channel, youtube.com/KyleDunning. A lot of new stuff coming out there. You got the pussies, you got the Craig stuff, you got the Stallone. And
you got the Craig News Show.
Craig News Show. And if you're on Instagram, I mean, don't be afraid to go to YouTube. It's just a couple of clicks. You go to my bio.
It's not frightening at all.
It's not scary. It's good.
All right,
I feel like I've talked way too much.
No, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it immensely. Shannon yelled at me, said I was cutting you off too much.
No, not at all. I definitely should have been cut off more.
James, your plugs.
Oh, man, this was great. Kyle, you're wonderful. Come on, baby. You were the guest. The best, this was James. Terrific. You're best. In front of goddamn that. Neverland the whole time. I feel like I feel like children running in.
No, you're the best. You got these kids in the back. It's cool. Yeah.
Why is the good-looking man at Neverland Ranch? That's the question. What is he doing there?
You gotta Why are the about. Kids not at Neverland?
Well, that's the mashup we've really been waiting for with all the mashups. All right. So, man, you should check out my podcast. It's called The Commissioner Comedy. It's the number two podcast in America behind this show. It is about the passion, the unspoken rules about comedy. I don't know when this drops, but the last episode I recorded was about should you talk about your loved ones? It's fucking wild, dog. I've gotten in some trouble, man. All right?
Really? I would imagine the answer is yes.
Yeah, you should, but goddamn it, maybe you shouldn't talk about the girl you're kind of dating like I did on Shannon's show once, and I got cut off. We'll just do some wink-winks in case the kids come in. I don't want to be too filthy, okay? But that guy, it was a bad night, and I had to talk to her next. So check out Commissioner Comedy. It's dope. It's passionate. You will do 100 push-ups after listening to it. Yeah. Also, my new album is dropping soon. It is called Check Spot. It is me doing a Q&A with a drunk audience while they pay the bills at the comedy show. It is like a concept album. It is like a prog rock bucket. It's like the Wall of comedy. So check that shit out. Boom, boom, baby.
Oh, yeah. Man, you do great plugs.
You know who also did 100 push-ups today? Good-looking Kyle did 100
yeah,
push-ups.
That's right.
While he was sleeping, dog. Good-looking Kyle just bangs out a whole goddamn P90X set.
Good looking Kyle doesn't make any money though. Don't you feel like he never really had to work hard?
Well, he didn't have to work hard. Look at that jawline. Why would he have to work?
He's like a trainer.
No, he's like an 80s like someone on Sunset Strip in a band before they blow up. He just sleeps with strippers and they just take care of everything. Baby, do you want to go to In-N-Out? Here's some money. That's what good looking Kyle does.
And he does this a lot.
It looks like Jeremy Spencer a little bit without the tattoos.
Oh, yeah, you're probably right. He does. That's, I was trying to think who it looked like. You're right. Jeremy Spencer is the drummer from a heavy metal band that was on the show recently. It's a Five Finger Death Punch. He's the drummer. He was the drummer in Five Finger Death Punch. All right, Shannon, your plug. See if Kyle also feels that you do good plugs.
That was a great plug, James. I want to do, I want to have James do my plugs.
That's what I say.
Whatever you need me, man. Designated plugger, man.
Just go you, Kyle's YouTube, man. It's blowing up, Kyle Dunnigan. I don't know, something. Whatever.
That was defeated. That was so defeated sounding.
The end was. The beginning was good. All right, go ahead. Go ahead, Shannon. You've got the floor.
Okay. Listen to my podcast, The Thing Is Ding. Similar to the SCR show, and we ask our guests to tell three different stories, but our stories are bad date or weird sexual experience, a street fight they were in, and a ghost experience that they had. So it's a very interesting, eclectic group of questions called The Thing Is Ding. And follow me on Instagram at ShannonLee6982.
Kyle, do you believe in ghosts?
You know, I don't believe there are ghosts. I do believe there's a lot of things I don't know, but I would put my money on no. When you die, you don't, you are not here anymore as anything at all.
I'm right there with you. I'm on the same board. All right, follow me. I'm not going to be as energetic as either of you. Follow me over at I Am Ralph Sutton. My other show that I do with the founder of Juice Press is called the Good Sugar Podcast. And by the way, I don't really plug it anymore, but I should. My book hit top 100 on Amazon, right?
Oh, nice.
The Guide to Weight Loss and Fitness. Kyle, just for you, because people haven't seen it in a while. It's 2 pages long. Page 1 says, eat less. Page 2 says, work out more, and the rest is blank. And it did hit so top funny. 100 on iTunes, so thank you very on Amazon parody. And just follow me over at I Am Ralph Sutton. Kyle, if you couldn't tell by this interview, I am just a fucking huge fan, dude.
I appreciate it. Thank you. I really appreciate it. And this was an enjoyable, sometimes you do these podcasts. This is a very enjoyable. You guys are great. And I never listen to podcasts.
Neither do I. Well, I listen to The Daily. Them.
But this is one I would listen to.
Do you listen to anything, James, as a podcast? Do you listen to shows?
Yeah, there's a sports podcast I listen to. There's a music podcast that's called Rivals that I think you would love. It's all about feuds. They just wrapped up a three-parter with the Eagles, which was insane because the Eagles hate each other as much as I hate their band. So that's fun. And I listen to some wrestling podcasts because I'm a loser, dog.
Yeah, I only listen to educational podcasts, which is The Daily, Star Talk. I like to feed my brain. That's really all. I don't listen to anything else.
I heard you had Neil deGrasse Tyson on. That would be my dream. That guy, if we have aliens come down, we could send one human. I think we send him.
Yeah. You know? Some people say he's condescending, but I don't think he's condescending. I just think he's smarter than everybody.
I saw an interview with him, and there was someone very religious, and I thought he was very kind to him and delicate. Yeah. I found.
That was, by the way, we've been doing the show 5 years, I think. Jay always makes fun of me for shitting on other guests, but I think that was the most excited I ever was to talk to somebody.
I would be so excited.
And it's not a guest that made sense on our show. The numbers didn't do so well. You know, it makes sense that it wouldn't do well for this show. It's sex, drugs, and rock and roll. We mostly do rock stars and comedy and porn stars and whatnot. So I think that most of my audience is like, who the fuck is this guy? I was thrilled to have him on.
Get someone that smart that's also laughy. Usually
he's a fun
big
dude.
Thinker can't really laugh, but he's able to do both.
And you know what, by the way, to put a nice button on it, I was listening to his show last week, and he said if an astrophysicist ever wrote a diet book, because they were talking about diet, he said it would be one page long, and it would say consume less calories than you burn. So I had his address, and I sent him a copy of the book and said, I'm not an astrophysicist, but I basically wrote this book a year ago, and I don't know. I'm going to have to text Chuck Nice and see if he got it, because I didn't give him a way to get in touch with me. I just sent him the book.
All right. I'm going to start a podcast so I can have him on my show.
Bring him on your Pussies podcast. Bring him on the Pussies podcast.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure he'd do that.
We end the show every week with a song of the week. You're a big Billy Joel fan. You want to pick a song by Billy Joel?
Ooh, Billy Joel. Let's go with, just Allentown popped into my head.
All right, let's do Allentown. How come you don't do a Billy Joel impression if you love him so much, for God's sakes?
I find it really disrespectful. I would never do that to Billy Joel.
All right, we'll see you next week on the SDR Show.
Listening to the SDR Show.